Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. We are here again on a very warm July day in London for another recording, another conversation of Turning Towards Life. And Lizzie, it is very, very good to see you. And welcome, 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 everybody. Thank you for being with us. I know that there are people who've been listening and joining alongside this for the 8¾ years that we've been up to this conversation, Lizzie. I also know that there are people who are joining afresh all the time, and people who listen every week and people who listen now and again. Welcome, welcome to all of you. You are all equally welcome. And in a moment, we're going to do what we ordinarily do, which is, Lizzie, you have brought a source, a very rich repository of feeling and ideas and possibility that we're going to place in the middle of us. So we're both going to read it, and then we are going to see what happens in an unhurried conversation where we let ourselves be affected and affect one another, which is such a joy to do. And thank you for doing this with me again.
Thank you, Justin. When you said 8¾ years, I started thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to be 10 years in a year's time. We need to organize something. And I was thinking about the location and the venue and what we would do. And so anyway, I'm just sharing my excitement that this has been going for so long. And just to say the possibility of meeting those who listen, Justin, and share it with one another in Turning Towards Life Live or any event that we might do one day is so delicious to me. So that's where my mind goes immediately, that you talk about any milestones is we should celebrate. Anyway, we will get to celebrations at some point. But now we have this beautiful source to put between us by the wonderful Hafiz. It's a poem by Hafiz called Cast All Your Votes for Dancing. And as we do every time, we're going to read this to one another, like a bedtime story maybe, as we just are together and see what gets born from the saying and the wondering. So cast all your votes for dancing. I know the voice of depression still calls to you. I know those habits that can ruin your life still send their invitations. But you are with a friend now and look so much stronger. You can stay that way and even bloom. Keep squeezing drops of the sun from your prayers and work and music and from your companion's beautiful laughter. Keep squeezing drops of the sun from the sacred hands and glance of your beloved. And my dear, from the most insignificant movements of your own holy body. Learn to recognize the counterfeit coins that may buy you just a moment of pleasure, but then drag you for days like a broken man behind a farting camel. You are with a friend now. Learn what actions of yours delight him, what actions of yours bring freedom and love. Whenever you say God's name, dear pilgrim, my ears wish my head was missing so they could finally kiss each other and applaud all your nourishing wisdom. Keep squeezing drops of the sun from your prayers and work and music and from your companion's beautiful laughter and from the most insignificant movements of your own holy body. Now, sweet one, be wise. Cast all your votes for dancing.
Thank you, Lizzie. So this version of this poem will be in the show notes and on our turningtowards.life website. I know the voice of depression still calls to you. I know those habits that can ruin your life still send their invitations, but you are with the friend now and look so much stronger. You can stay that way and even bloom. Keep squeezing drops of the sun from your prayers and work and music and from your companion's beautiful laughter. Keep squeezing drops of the sun from the sacred hands and glance of your beloved and, my dear, from the most insignificant movements of your own holy body. Learn to recognize the counterfeit coins that may buy you just a moment of pleasure, but then drag you for days, like a broken man behind a farting camel. You are with the friend now. Learn what actions of yours delight him, what actions of yours bring freedom and love. Whenever you say God's name, dear pilgrim, my ears wish my head was missing so that they could finally kiss each other and applaud all your nourishing wisdom. Oh, keep squeezing drops of the sun from your prayers and work and music and from your companion's beautiful laughter and from the most insignificant movements of your own holy body. Now, sweet one, be wise. Cast all your votes for dancing.
Thanks, Justin. Thank you for reading that to me. It's a big, deep, spacious invitation to me to come back into contact with myself and back into contact with the teensy-weensinesses of life. So this invitation to, even my hand is just moving now as I'm speaking, and the invitation to squeeze a drop of sun from my most insignificant movements in my own holy body. It just feels like, I don't know what the word is, like what's coming to me is like being really thirsty and then coming across a well or some generous water source that is drinkable and fresh and nourishing in a moment when I feel parched. And feeling the attunement to that possibility being ever benevolently present in our lives as human beings, that there is a way in any given moment that I might attune to the presence of my body, that I might attune to the drops of sun from music and my work and a glance from someone who I love or just near me, and to feel all of that possibility given the voice still calling and the habits that ruin my life and the rabbit holes I can go down. This is always available. Like, this poem really matters because it sits there forever, always. It got written down, it exists. And it sits there as a reminder and an invitation to me that in any moment I could kiss the friend. And to me, kissing the friend means making contact with life itself, with breath, with sunlight, with air, with the things that are here and are real. And of course, like anyone, my mind can be off in goodness knows how many places at once. My heart can be feeling 100 feelings. I'm all of these multitudes. And in a way, in order to be fully able to process the whole of life in the way that I need to as a human being, want to as a human being, to be impacted by life the way I would love to be, contact with life itself, contact with presence, with being right where I am, is the necessary capacity to be able to receive all of it and not to be completely in denial or away with the fairies or pushing things down or avoiding things or being reactive or whatever it is. This feels so nourishing. And this squeezing the drops of sun, it's like it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to get present. It doesn't take much to just put things down and breathe and take a moment and receive life in this minute. And I'm so glad of this joyful invitation that doesn't turn away from the darkness. It knows it's all there. And in spite of that, and because of that, this invitation stands strong and bold and beautiful in the sunlight, saying, I'm here. You can make contact anytime you like.
It's wonderful hearing everything you had to say, Lizzie. I was thinking whilst you were talking that in last week's Turning Towards Life, we were talking about relational power and how to be in relationship with one another, and that one of the things that we came upon was that in order to be in the kind of relationship with other humans, where we are affected by and then affect one another. We need to be able to find our own selves in the middle of this, that if we can't find ourselves, we'll tend to get afraid of what might happen in conversation. We'll either try to dominate or we'll withdraw and let ourselves be dominated. And this poem is such an invitation to, I think it has this really radical idea. It ought not to be radical, but it really is unusual perspective, which is that just to be a human is wonderful. It's really sacred just to be here, to know that. I also love this repeated refrain of squeezing drops of the sun from, and then what might we squeeze it from? Our prayers and our work and our music and the people around us and sacred hands and the most insignificant movements of our own holy bodies. Now that bit actually for me is such a genius line, because I was thinking about gurgling stomachs actually whilst you were talking. I was thinking that's an insignificant movement of my own holy body. And I think for a lot of us, our bodies are sort of source of, we learn to judge our own bodies. And also as our bodies change, or as we encounter the limitations of our bodies, it's very easy to relate to our bodies as somehow something wrong or an impediment. But if instead we start with the, I can only have a body because I'm living, and I can only have a body because of all the ones with bodies who came before me all the way back through time, and that there's even such a thing as bodies arising in existence, and that I can be conscious from within this body. There's something about this body and being conscious of my own life and aware of my own life that all come together. Then something that might appear to be a source of limitation, of course, bodies are also sources of limitation. And I just want to say more about that in a second. We might see that as some terrible curse, but actually it's all made part, this is the blessing of being embodied. Is the blessing of being here. And so to be invited to take action, I'm already thinking, so what does it mean? And I'm really attending to this now. What does it mean to keep squeezing drops of the sun from this moment? And my room is too hot, and I've been sitting for quite a long time. And I'm quite tired today. There's lots of things going on. And also, if I let myself squeeze drops of the sun, I'm here, and I can hear and see and talk and think and feel. And I'm with you. And we are in the midst of making something. Oh my goodness. And that it's available in even the smallest, like you were gesturing with your hand earlier, for anyone who, most people I think listen rather than watch us, although you can see us on our website and on YouTube. Just to notice that even the act of speaking or breathing or blinking is something extraordinarily unlikely and extraordinarily complex and involves so much to have got to the stage where we can do any of those things. So that, I think, is really necessary to be in relationship with one another. But also, Lizzie, I think it's such a counter to the sense that so many of us have that somehow we're living in terrible ending of the world times. A lot of people feel this way. And there are a lot of very difficult things happening in the world, for sure. But if we don't also find this in the midst of all the difficulties we face, I think we might fall into a, well, there's no why be here at all, which I think is where Hafiz's poem begins. And this is a reminder that there is a reason to be here. There's something very, very precious here always.
I love this invitation as well to what brings freedom and love. So when you were just talking about the heat and the sitting, the vibes from you were very different to when you started talking about what I received as the kind of miraculousness of togetherness and movement and eyeballs and stomach gurgling. And so this kind of micro observation, if you like, of what actions of mine bring freedom and love is a very wonderful little shortcut to self-reflection, to notice that at any moment I could see probably 100,000 different things, feel 100,000 different things. And my intentionality can direct that with this question. So what actions? So I might walk to the field outside and only be focused on getting to the gate. But if I walked with a, what actions bring freedom and love, how might my journey to the gate be completely different than if I just focused on getting to the gate? Maybe the movement of my feet brings me a sense of my freedom. Maybe the wind on my face has me feel a rush of love. Maybe the way my hair moves as I bend down to tie my shoe brings something else. It's like a taking this invitation to reflect and sense and be with our experience in a different way. That if we didn't do this, maybe we'd miss a lot. I think I do miss a lot. I take so many things for granted. You know, walk from here to there and don't even think that I've got a pair of feet. Unless I think, let's feel into what it is to have a pair of feet, or to sense into what it means to breathe through my nose, or to feel light come through my body as the sunlight hits my skin. So I'm feeling really grateful for a really direct, straightforward inspiration of this is how I might go from here to the next place. Like from here to check the bolognese that I've got on the hob and I don't want it to burn on the bottom. I could walk with this wondering of what actions of mine are bringing freedom and love. And even asking that question changes my journey from here to the saucepan.
I got a little caught up when you said between here and the saucepan. I was thinking about the sauce. I thought that you were saying the sauce between here and the sauce, like the sauce we're talking about. Then you talk about the saucepan. That makes me smile. So yes, so this, what you've just settled on. I think it's really important that this poem begins with despair. Because not all despair is inappropriate and not all despair can be turned into drops of sun immediately. I know that. I am in the midst of grieving for a very, very, very much loved aunt of mine who died just this last week. And I know that there's a place for the despair. And that's not separate from drops of sun, because I loved her the way that I feel the way I do because I loved her the way I did and still do. And there's so much life in that. So both hold together. And I think it's important, as you said, this poem knows about darkness. But what I was reaching for was if we can't find our way back to what is precious, that which was given to us as a gift, that which is always available in the midst of the ordinary things, we make it much, much more difficult for ourselves to be in our lives, to contribute, to be of service, to receive. So this is really important. And so then there is this absolutely excellent little verse that is only in once, which comes after learn what actions, and it's just before, you know, you say learn what actions of yours delight, what brings freedom and love. Before that, learn to recognize the counterfeit coins. They may buy you, but maybe not. Because a lot of counterfeit coins don't even buy us this, a moment of pleasure. But then they drag us for days like a broken man behind a farting camel. And the thing that I thought about was, oh yes, gosh, there are many times when I've been being dragged like a broken man behind a farting camel and imagined that that was all, that was what I deserved or that's what I should be doing. And that I played a part in this. So we don't always play a part in everything, but there is so much we play a part of. So this whole poem is inviting a participatory way of understanding our lives. Like how I bring myself to my life does have some part in this. And I think that for many of us, there's a really common structure, Lizzie, where we go, I'll take the counterfeit coin it didn't give me what I wanted, or the pleasure only lasted for a moment and now I'm being dragged along and it's painful. I must have done something wrong. I better go and get more counterfeit coins until it's right. Like we throw ourselves into the being dragged along as a broken person and we imagine that we're doing this because we're not good enough yet or we deserve it or something. And it doesn't occur that there's an act of recognition to go, maybe I'm playing a part in living this way. And there are things immediately here, like the insignificant movements of my own holy body, like that. How much closer to ourselves can we get than that, which are already the source of sunshine? And it suddenly strikes me to say, it is actually completely the case that every single movement of our own holy bodies is sunshine, because the only source of energy from which our movements come is from what we eat. And everything that we eat gets its energy from plants which turned sunlight into energy sources. So we are actually moving sunlight. That is what we are. There's nothing else that our movements are apart from powered. We are powered by sunlight. So just knowing that that is true, it's not even a source of, it is a beautiful poetic metaphor, but it's actually also the case that my speaking to you now, my feeling, my thinking is sun-powered. My goodness. And then this poem calls on us, I think it asks something of us, which is to pay attention, to intervene in our way of paying attention and our way of responding to life, so that we magnify drops of sun everywhere we can. We magnify that which brings freedom and love. And we don't just keep dragging ourselves along as if somehow our own consciousness and awareness and intentionality had nothing to do with it, which it does.
I love this word, intervention, all of a sudden, and magnification. To make an intervention of magnifying the drops of sun sounds like a way to live. And I can't remember if I've talked about it on Telling Towards Life, Justin, but have I talked about the miraculousness of our tomatoes?
I think you did, but you should talk about it again, definitely.
Well, the first two red ones have just come. So they're all green. And then these two red ones have just come. And it literally is, like you're saying, these drops of tomato are drops of sunlight and we can eat them. I mean, I know it's really basic. I know that this is forever. But I feel really like just growing some fruit in the garden or a vegetable. We've got a pumpkin growing as well, with these big leaves and these big flowers. It's making contact with this and being someone who intervenes by magnifying the drops of sun, given the voice of depression still calls, given the counterfeit coins, and goodness me, the counterfeit coins thing. There's so many counterfeit coins. Oh, I think I'm going to feel fulfilled when, or I think I'm going to feel like I can relax then, or that I'll be happy when that happened or something. And they're so counterfeit because, of course, we arrive and then there we are still in whatever kind of state we were in before. It didn't fix us, didn't make everything okay. It didn't turn my life into some shiny ball of diamond or something. My life is still the mess it is, whether my circumstances have changed or not, is the evidence I have so far. And of course, when it's really, really difficult and when it's really bad, there are just some basics that need to be covered. I feel that really is very true. And even those times there has been gold. Even those times that have really been awful, there have been these drops of sunshine in there that have been squeezable to get a little something from them, even if it's looking back, because I couldn't see it at the time. And so I'm holding this as you know, in our work, Justin, we'd say like a deeper story that we might live into and practice how to do that every day. That maybe we could be an intervener where the kind of interventions we make are magnifications of those drops of sun. So it means walking around and seeing my patterns, seeing my habits, seeing my moments that lead me down the track of the farting camel draggingness. And in that moment, wondering whether this is an action that brings me freedom and love, or which has me dangle behind the farting camel. And as you say, bringing my intentionality to it, that's a very different path that gets made by my own actions, which takes care of, in lots of ways, the powers that I do have, whilst also recognizing there's a lot of powers that I don't have. But the ones that I do have, what a thing to be able to direct them like that, where I have an influence on my own life and my own being in the day, in the night, in the everydayness, where I'm making interventions of magnifying the drops of sun.
Well, I've got two things to add to what you just said. So one is, I'm just now in an inquiry about squeezing drops of sun, because it also strikes me that there's an invitation here, Lizzie, that when something is very difficult, it may not be possible. I want to really acknowledge that we don't always. But I know that, again, we talked a little bit about this in the last conversation about when we get afraid of things, sort of like trying to control them or trying to avoid them. I know how easy it is in me when something is hard for me to turn away from it or to sort of self-sacrifice in it because it's hard. And I'm challenged in a good way by the possibility that I might take something that I have already labeled as unwelcome. Some things should rightly be unwelcome, but something that I've labeled as unwelcome that might benefit from me squeezing drops of the sun from it. That sometimes the things that I think are unwelcome turn out to be big, bright doorways into something else in life. And we often don't know. We don't know at the time that something falls apart, or we feel hurt, or we feel confused, or I'm really longing for something and I don't get it, or I lose something, or I lose someone. It's very easy to imagine that there can't possibly be drops of sun in them. But very often when we look back, for a lot of those things, we might be able to say, oh, that was where this started. Well, what would it be to hold, to begin squeezing drops of sun from it as it happened, as close to it as we can get? I think that's a really good, I'm finding that a really good and inviting, robust invitation to myself, actually, to do that. And I'm aware that I do that in some places, and there are other places I don't. So that was the first thing. The second thing I wanted to add was, I think it was implied by what you said. You said, starting to discern what actions bring me freedom and love. And I wanted to extend it because it was sort of in the spirit of the conversation we had about relational power. As I've been sitting with you now, I am also attending to what way of speaking and being with you brings you freedom and you love. Like being committed not only to my own freedom, because if it's only my own freedom, it might well be at the expense of your freedom. And I can say to you, well, Lizzie, I'm just exercising my freedom, so you're just going to have to do what I say or something. Can I extend this attention to freedom and love beyond myself so that you and I, who might be in deep agreement or we might be in deep disagreement, we might be confused together, we might be trying to resolve some breakdown that we're in the middle of, we might be, so that I extend you as much freedom to bring yourself fully here as I do to myself, which was really the topic of last week. How do we extend relational freedom to one another? I know that in the relationships that I am in where somebody extends me freedom and I extend them freedom, all kinds of life-giving possibilities open. And it takes the thing that's wonderful about Hafiz, particularly, I reckon this is, you didn't say, but I wonder if this is one of Daniel Ladinsky's interpretations of Hafiz. He really emphasizes this. What Hafiz does is remind us to look at the golden, joyful possibilities that are right in the heart of all of life, to treat life as a blessing, even when it asks a lot of us, and then to ask us to extend our goodness and our brightness and our excellence and the sacredness that we are to one another. And I think that is such a necessary antidote from this time in the world where we collectively seems so easy to fall into, well, I'll protect what's mine and make sure that you don't get any, you know, you're not going to come close to me, Lizzie. It's like, it's an invitation to reciprocity and generosity. It's very, very exciting to read and talk about.
Yeah, and I think it's this whole multitudinousness that we've talked about, where so many different facets of us are here and available at any one moment, and letting this be right there with a just as big a seat as any other part of us is really a possibility. And it matters to say it, because when you and I next find ourselves in some deep pit, we might listen to this and be reminded that it is also true that this exists too. And it matters that we say it so that we stand for that when things aren't okay. And it's just a straightforward, simple, and accessible thing that we all have that we can draw on. And I want to be hopeful about that and take a stand for it, that it exists always, this opportunity for us to be with the friend, to cast our votes for dancing in spite of whatever is going on, and that we might always just be able to squeeze something. I love the fact that you drew attention to squeezing, because sometimes a lemon is really dry, but you squeeze it just a little bit harder and there is a tiny drop of juice still to go. And I want to finish there with that hopeful note that whatever we're going through, wherever we are, we could turn towards one another, we could turn towards the sun, the blade of grass, the simple movement of our bodies, and or a human being that happens to be next to us, or running water out of a tap or a saucepan. And there is benevolent presence here always. So thank you, Justin, as always, for this. And thank you, everybody who's with us, who's listening, who's forwarding the podcast to their friends or colleagues or mums or sisters or whatever. And we're going to be back next week with another poem between us, or piece of writing.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.